From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. And tonight, who's behind the secret door? Four guests. I have no idea who they are. I concocted this thing about a year and a half ago, and now my producers have taken over with it. They won't tell me who the guests are. So we'll find out together behind the secret door. Well, first of all, a couple little notes, and then obviously, happy Thanksgiving. I'll chat with you a little bit about that before we get into some of the news of the day. First of all, congratulations to the Tennessee Titans. They are playing great football. They beat my Detroit Lions today. They actually slaughtered them. Did you know the Lions have now lost every game this season? Every game. Every Thanksgiving. My son, me, we all look forward to watching the Detroit Lions play on Thanksgiving. I've done this since I was a kid. Man, they just keep losing. Oh, well. Program note, by the way. On December 5th, that's next Friday at 10 a.m. in the morning, if you are listening to us on Streamlink in St. Louis or KTRS in St. Louis, I want you to come on by the St. Louis City Hall Board of Aldermen. Because they are going to give me and this program a proclamation. This program means so much to the city of St. Louis that the Aldermanic Committee there has decided to give us a proclamation. So I'm going to be there Friday at 10 a.m. I get off the air at 4 in the a.m., so I'll be dragging myself in. But December 5th, St. Louis City Hall, come on by. I want them to see how strong our St. Louis contingency is. So at City Hall, December 5th, at 10 a.m., we get a proclamation from the city of St. Louis. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and I hope you had a wonderful time. And if for some reason you were working, you didn't have a chance to spend your Thanksgiving with your family, well, that's why you're here with us tonight. I went over to my son's place, and my daughters were there, and the four grandchildren were there, and just a great time to just get together with the people you care about. And about 2 hours or 3 hours into it earlier today, I started looking at my watch, because I always do that when I know I'm on the air. And my oldest daughter, Wendy, says, you're working tonight, Dad, aren't you? And I said, yep. She said, second family, isn't it? And I went, yep. They know, after all these years, they know that this is important holiday nighttime to be with you. So they had a great time. I had a great time. And I hope you had an enjoyable time, too. And thank you for giving me the privilege of broadcasting this marvelous program into your homes and into your cars and trucks or wherever you listen to us. And on behalf of everybody at the network and those that I work with on a daily basis here at Coast to Coast AM, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Well, astronauts raised plastic cups of iced tea and toasted the Thanksgiving holiday from the International Space Station to Thanksgiving, wishing everyone on Earth and off Earth a good Thanksgiving, said Endeavour astronaut Don Pettit, holding a makeshift plastic cup that he had devised during his visit to the space station. You know, astronauts normally drink liquids from pouches using straws to prevent the drinks from spilling out, but Pettit wanted to show that they could drink from cups. Pettit also made an iced tea toast to future space explorers in Mumbai, India. Masked Indian commandos now have just dropped from helicopters onto the roof of a Jewish center in Mumbai where Muslim militants were holed up, possibly with hostages, as sharpshooters kept up a steady stream of fire at the five-story building. The assault was punctuated by gunshots and explosions from within the building as the forces there cleared the building floor by floor. Elsewhere in the city, commandos scoured two luxury hotels for suspected Muslim attackers, still holed up more than a day after a chain of attacks across India's financial center by the militants left at least 119 people dead. An Air New Zealand Airbus A320 aircraft on a test flight crashed into the sea off of France's southwest coast, killing at least one person, six still missing. The A320 is manufactured by Airbus, a unit of European Aerospace Group, EADS. Well, the holiday shopping season begins Friday with a blitz of early morning specials. I heard that some stores are opening up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I heard that some people are in line right now to get in. For some merchants, though, it's practically over already. Piles of jewelry, clothing, and electric drills, for example, are bypassing store shelves and heading straight to liquidators by the caseload as stores try to save as much cash they can. Major department stores and mall-based chains have cut prices up to 70% to move out mounds of excess inventory stuck in the pipeline since the financial crisis hit in September and people snapped their wallets shut. Big moves of merchandise happen every year, but usually right after Christmas. This year, the stores are desperate to shed their inventory. Chrysler says its chief executive, Robert Nardelli, will not fly in a corporate jet when he returns to Washington next week for congressional hearings on government loans for the auto industry. I think that's a smart move. Spokeswoman says the company is exploring options for travel, including driving or commercial flights. Now, Chrysler, don't make a mistake. Don't put him in a Bentley and drive him to Washington, D.C. from Detroit. Put him in a Chrysler car. Detroit's three automakers were impaled by lawmakers last week for flying to Washington in separate corporate jets to seek $25 billion in federal loans. In Arnold, Missouri, a 9-year-old girl is seriously injured after she was struck by an electric saw her father was using to trim trees. Rock Community Fire Protection District officials say the little girl was standing below a ladder when her father accidentally dropped the saw. It struck her in the neck, causing extensive bleeding. The man immediately dialed 911. She's in serious but stable condition. In Shelbyville, Indiana, Edna Parker. She became the world's oldest person more than a year ago. She's not with us anymore, at least physically. She's died at the age of 115. She was born April 20th, 1893, in central Indiana's Morgan County and has been recognized by the Guinness World Records as the world's oldest person since the 2007 death of someone from Japan. Robots are appearing on stage alongside human actors in a new play in Japan. The machines were specially programmed to speak lines with human actors and move around the stage. The playwright says the work raises questions about the relationship between humanity and technology. The play is called iWorker. It is set in the near future. Next up, the first guest. Who's behind the closed door? Let's find out together on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast Behind the Secret Door tonight, this Thanksgiving night. And what we're going to do each half hour, we'll open up the phone lines as well to give you an opportunity to talk with our secret guest. So what we're going to do is now go behind door number one. We've got four doors throughout the night and see who this might be. I've got a guess. This could be embarrassing if I don't figure out who it is. Here we go. Hello there.
Hi, George.
Hi. How are you?
Great. We double your pleasure when you think about the future.
It's the psychic twins.
Yay, psychic twins.
Whew, I got that one right.
Made it easy.
I thought I had feedback in my headsets out here in St. Louis for a moment.
That's what you need right now.
I do. How are you two doing?
Doing great. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Thanks,
you too.
George.
Or I should say, yeah, definitely. You too. TWO. You know, Linda and Terry, you're not going to get off easy tonight because I'm going to push you two to tell us what you see for 2009.
We knew you would.
Uh-huh.
We had your first question. Well, you know, your magazine interviewed us for January, so you're going to have all our predictions for 2009 in your magazine After Dark in January.
That's exciting.
But we can share some more stuff with you now.
Absolutely. And again, give me your take, by the way, on just what is going on with us right now. I mean, man, we have been, this last quarter for people emotionally has been the biggest roller coaster I can remember in my lifetime.
In our lifetime, it's insane.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, it's just boggling the mind. And
we really feel that it's deeply karmic, though, mm-hmm. George. And we feel this whole economic crisis is kind of a wake-up call for people, a reminder that life circumstances are ephemeral, they're temporary. And we can really choose to have a shift in perception about it and let go of all the fear and the limitations that we're holding on to. We can transform this with our intention and our prayer, but I think people are buying into the mass mind of fear and anger and helplessness that the media perpetuates, and that's the problem.
You know, I think so, too. I mean, we've had guests on, and there's no doubt in my mind that these guests are right on the button, that, you know, there's a lot of greed involved, there's a lot of fraud involved, that. But I think people overall can overcome this, especially those who are fortunate enough to be working. But what about people who aren't? What about people who are unemployed right now, and they've got a tough time? I mean, how can they carry themselves through this?
Well, that's a good question, George. And I really feel it's all about how strong we are mentally and spiritually. And you're very optimistic. I admire that. And we are, too. And we're very spiritual. So I really feel like it all has to do with how resilient you are mentally and spiritually.
Yeah, and
to rise above it. It's so important to, you know, really take assets. It's a crisis is an opportunity to learn and expand and grow. And if people have this attitude that we can shift our perception and actually step into new possibility, I believe that we can do anything. And stop blaming other people. Stop blaming the government, because this is karmic. A lot of people took vows of poverty in past lives, and this is just coming up as a healing for these people. And not everybody's suffering, you know, because they lost money. Some people are just sort of rolling up their sleeves and saying, hey, I know I can find a job. It's just a matter of time. And really being willing, I think, to humble yourself and maybe take a job that doesn't pay quite as much as you're used to, just to rebuild and get back a sense of control and start taking more action.
You know, today I was watching the last Rocky movie called Rocky Balboa with Sylvester Stallone. And one of the key lines in this is, you know, it's not how hard you get hit in life. It's how you pick yourself up and keep going and how you handle it.
Oh, yes.
And that is so true about life today, isn't it?
Oh, I think it's everything. Both of us often, you know, talk about that in the readings that we give and the radio shows we do. It's really just about attitude. It sounds kind of, you know, simplistic, but it's really, that's where it all begins.
We can. Now, who am I talking to now, by the way? Is this Terry or Linda?
That was mostly Linda talking.
Is it true that there's only one of you and that you just do two different voices?
That's funny. We had imposters working for a while that were pretending to be us, and we thought they were just one person doing it.
I mean, how would I ever know? You know, I ask one question to someone. I mean, I could change my voice into many different characters. I should do a show like that.
You probably wouldn't know, but, you know, we do a lot of television, so people know that there's two of us.
That's funny. Where are you two from?
Originally, we're from Philly. We're from outside of Philadelphia, a small rural town. But we live in Los Angeles for many years now.
Tell you how screwed up I am right now in terms of this is a great day. It's just one of those great days of holiday time. I mean, I love it from October on, Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. I was going to ask you the greatest talk show question of all. Now,
this is the
psychic twins, right? And I was going to say, were you two born in the same city?
We were. Westchester, Pennsylvania.
I've done that before, by the way. I've done stuff like that.
Well, there are some twins that are actually born in different towns or different months, even.
No, come on.
Yeah, seriously.
How does that happen?
They're usually fraternal twins. They're born at two different amniotic sacs, and so one is born, the other isn't quite ready to come out, and it can be a month later,
a few weeks
or a month. Yeah.
Well, my father, you know, his brother has passed on, but he was a fraternal twin. And my mother's got them on her side too, and you know, I don't have any of my side of the family in terms of my kids, but. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that. I thought they had to be born together, you know, at the same time.
Yeah, not always. Sometimes they're in different time zones.
All right.
Zodiac signs, whatever.
What do people, we're going to take phone calls in a few moments for you too. What do people ask you to the most? What comes up the most?
I would say, wouldn't you say questions about
economy,
maybe love life, health crises,
finances,
economy,
right now.
Finance, jobs, job stability, or what's next, what direction they should take, whether they should start a new job, a new business, a startup business of their own. A lot of people want to do that. And we sort of go in and we assess the potentiality for that in their particular lives.
What areas do you look at?
Well, we look at their job and what they want to do. A lot of people really don't have a passion, and they're not clear on their goals. They're not clear on even, you know, what they should be doing. And that's the sad part, because I feel like if you don't have a passion, where do you start? You know, you can't have a goal.
And that's where meditation helps, I think, to sort of tune in and discover, what do I love? What am I good at? What makes my heart sing? What do I really find that time goes by quickly, or I have more joy doing? It could be something very simple, like gardening or cooking or ballroom dancing or whatever.
When did you two start to pick up on these abilities? I would guess since you were small.
Oh, yeah. We were born with these abilities, and believe it or not, even as little, tiny kids, we were counseling neighbors and teaching them things, and it was very weird. We were like the Buddha boy that came out of the woods and just started lecturing on world peace. But we just had it. It was in our blood. You know, we couldn't help it. We were just born like that.
It was in our DNA.
And it's funny, because our parents weren't like that at all.
Mm-mm.
Not at all.
Well, you know, we're all born with the abilities, but not everybody has the mastery of it. They haven't been able to pull it out of themselves.
Yeah,
that's true.
We feel that everybody has some ability. Not everybody is meant to be a virtuoso at the violin, so a lot of people will fiddle around. But we feel that it's important, I think, to meditate and just really listen to the still small voice that wants to come in. People these days are just, they're human doings, not human beings. They're too busy doing, improving, accomplishing, and to listen, to stop and really listen. What am I doing? What's my life purpose? Where am I supposed to take the next step? And that's why I think everybody's a little bit crazy and relying on drugs and alcohol too much. And it's just because we've gotten out of kilter as a society and culture.
Tell me, when you two were kids, did you play the twins game with people?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a little embarrassing. We switched on a boyfriend, and he got so mad he never called again.
You're kidding. I mean, at what point did he, well, if you can say, at what point did he realize that he wasn't with the other one? Did it ever dawn on him?
It dawned on him, and it was sort of toward the end of the date that it was not the right twin, and he was just so embarrassed. And we're just too sensitive to do that to anybody, to play tricks on people. So we never did it again. We never played a joke on anybody again.
Let's take a glimpse into 2009. In terms of just great things for people, what do you see in 2009? Give me highlights. I know you're going to be in the After Dark magazine, but give me some highlights.
Okay. Well, you know, we are seeing some very positive breakthroughs in health and medicine, big advancements with cancer treatments, AIDS, and autism in 2009. An autism breakthrough, absolutely. Some real progress with stem cell research and growing organs based on one's own cells. We feel that will be a huge breakthrough in the next 2 years. We're seeing, because of the ascension process, which you may know about, leading to 2012, we feel our DNA is being reprogrammed, and our cellular structure is mutating so that we're all becoming more receptive to psychic energy and to be able to hold more of a light frequency as human beings for the planet. And I think that's really going to help greatly in our progress as a culture, a world culture, to come together, unify, and figure out solutions so we're not so disintegrated. We do see unemployment, unfortunately, going to 8.5-9% possibly by next year, but we do see more jobs being created and infrastructure rebuilding. And we think there's going to be a lot of progress with that in the next couple years. But Obama's going to, you know, it's going to take a while for him to implement and develop a lot of these plans he has. He'll get the ball rolling, but it'll take a while to implement and develop some of the plans for the economy.
Is it going to be a rough road in 2009?
Oh, yes, very rough. Unfortunately, we see that. It will take, you know, over a year to really stabilize the economy and stabilize the stocks, because they're so far off. And I think that President Obama's going to really have his work cut out for him. You know, there isn't enough money to do all that he wants to do.
It's not going to be easy. All right, stay with us. The Psychic Twins, Terry and Linda, they're with us. And we're going to open up the phone lines now for you behind the secret door. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. We're with the psychic twins, Terry and Linda. We're going to take your phone calls as well when we come back in the next hour. And every hour after that, someone else behind the secret door. And welcome back to Coast, Thanksgiving night. I'm George Norrie. Let's take some calls now for the Psychic Twins. By the way, Psychic Twins, how do people get a hold of you? What's your website?
Okay, it's psychictwins.com, and we're opening up our waiting list for your listeners, George.
Now, what does that mean, the waiting list?
Well, we have...
I want our listeners to get to the front of the line.
Yeah, they will. If they email us through psychictwins.com, they can do that.
And they mention hearing us on your show.
Okay.
Then we will put them in the waiting list, because right now our waiting list is closed and has been for some time.
Well, that's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, we're going to Portland, Oregon, where Nan is waiting. Hi, Nan.
Oh, hello, George Norrie. I am so grateful to be able to, first of all, express my gratitude for you and what you do. It's a really big part of my life, and I'm
well,
very
I'm here
thankful.
To stay for you for a long, long time, God willing.
I'm so happy I got to say that.
Very nice of you.
Just trying to catch my breath here. I've had a long
nicest
day.
Nicest thing that anybody's ever said to me.
Oh, thank you. I so needed that.
Anyways, go ahead, Nan. You're with the psychic
twins. Amazing women. I happened to see once on television on, I think it was Dr. Keith Ablo's show.
Yes, thank you, Nan.
Which,
we did a couple of his shows, yeah.
Yeah, I don't, at least as far as I know, he's not on network TV anymore. That's I'm really sad about that.
A couple years, yeah.
He's really awesome. But I was so impressed by the two of you, and I was completely, your energy is so positive, and it just feels so loving to me. And
thank you, sweetie.
How sweet.
So, anyway, I guess, I'm sorry.
Your energy is very positive, too. I have to say, I can feel it. I can feel all the love and
very heart-centered
energy coming from you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I wouldn't be this much of a crybaby. I've just had a long day. And,
well, obviously an emotional one, too.
Well, my daughter's going through some stuff, and...
What can we help you with, sweetie?
Well, I want to be kind of selfish here for a minute and ask about... myself, actually.
And you have trouble doing that, I know. You're not a selfish person at all. But I think you need to be more selfish in your life, actually.
That's amazing validation, and I really thank you for that, actually. I won't go into any details of my situation. I don't think I need to with the two of you. It's just been pretty tough for a long time. And what I'm thinking about right now, what I would like to ask you about, I have had no relationship in my life for a very long time, or any hope of one. And
right.
And I'm going to be 54 in a few weeks, so I'm getting up there, but I'm not that old yet. I'm not.
That is still very young. That's still young, but you're isolating, Nan. And I want you to get out there and get social and believe in yourself again. It's all about your confidence and really believing that you deserve a relationship, because I really feel like you're a wonderful person, and you're really, you know, it's not that long before you meet someone.
Actually, I see, and I don't see this for everybody, and so I'm just telling you, if we didn't see it, we would say so, but I'm seeing a possible marriage coming in a few years.
That's not bad.
And I'm seeing possibly meeting this guy in 2 years, around 2010.
Yeah, I was getting it too, also.
If you get out there, and because you're wonderful, get your energy all over people. And, you know, don't worry, is it Mr. Right or am I good enough? You know, don't worry about that. Just look at meeting men to be friends and having a good time, and your energy will be contagious. You'll naturally magnetize the right guy. I really am not worried about you at all.
You two are so energetic. I can feel it coming through the airwaves.
Sweet. Thank you.
Very nice. Thanks, George.
All right, Nan, go for it. Patrick in Bridgeport.
Email us and let us know how you do.
Go get it.
Let's pop over to Connecticut now. Hey, Patrick, go ahead.
Hey, thank you, George. Thank you, your guests as well. Listen,
Patrick.
How you doing?
Good.
I just came. Right now, I'm about 5 weeks from now, I'm going to be getting out from under parole. I spent most of my 20s in prison. But for my passion, I've always been very justice oriented. I took a kind of a violent turn towards trying to expose evil in the world. Now I still want to do that, but I know I can't go that whole route again in terms of, you know, harming others. But I only have really two passions in life. It's the occult and justice. You know, George covers a lot of stuff on the radio with Alex Jones. I don't know if you ever heard his guy.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah, those are my only two passions, but I don't know how to really, you know, I kind of isolated. I don't know what to do with those two passions, the occult. You know, I'm really into magic and justice. And where do you think I should go with this?
Okay, let me see.
That's a very interesting question.
I would pursue criminal justice, police work, that type of thing. You know, go that route. You can do the magic on the side. That can be more of a sideline as long as it's positive white magic that does good for people. You know,
yeah.
I really feel like you can be successful, Patrick.
Yeah, and I feel you're going to be developing your psychic ability, too. You're quite intuitive, and you're going to use those abilities in whatever you get involved in of a justice-oriented type of career. But we do feel that you will have success if you tune into your intuition. Are you meditating daily, Patrick? Because this will help a lot.
I do tarot card meditations.
Okay. Just make sure you're very quiet and focused on your breath and really going in within and listening to your heart, because I feel that you can expand on these. You know, your higher self is giving you a clue of what your purpose, your life purpose and direction is. So pay attention to that and just let go. Don't worry so much about how it's going to happen. If you drop it in, the universe will put you on the right path. You'll have the solutions and the connections and relationships to gradually step into the right career. But we're a little bit too worried or over-focused on what is it going to be. And I want you to let go of it completely. Let go of the worry and just have fun with it, okay?
I appreciate that. Can I ask one more quick question, George?
Yeah, go ahead, Patrick. Absolutely.
When I was in prison, I lost my sight completely. Do you see any change of that? Yeah, there's kind of a mess.
Wow. So you're still blind?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Interesting karma you chose, Patrick.
Patrick, what happened? I mean, you did your vision just went?
I was arrested, and in 15 months, my glaucoma really agitated. And if you're in prison, if you're not bleeding to death, they're not going to take you to the hospital. And I didn't get my medication, didn't get to the hospital for 2 weeks, and just lost my sight.
I'm sorry. Well, you know, I feel like partial vision. I feel like there's hope for you to get some of it back. Don't give up, because I really feel like through prayer, we actually had a good friend who was blind who regained her sight through chanting. And that's the Buddhist practice that we do. And believe me, we followed her all over New York City because she was so inspirational. And so we know that this kind of miracle happens, and we've had miracles happen with our health as well. So just be, you know, really, really prayerful, because this kind of thing, you can regain your sight.
And there are new innovations all the time. There really are. Patrick,
there are.
Stay in touch with that, too. Let's go to Richard driving his truck in Montana. You're up with us. Richard, good morning.
How are you doing?
Good. Hi, Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving
to you,
buddy.
Yeah, I tried getting all these guys on your site last year, but you're pretty busy.
We were busy then. I'm sorry, Richard. Email us again.
That's all right.
What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I just had a quick question. I'm suffering from a disease that people are calling Morgellons.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about that?
What's it called?
I'll brief them on that, Richard. Morgellons. It's a strange disease that people are feeling little fibers coming out of their skin. They may be alive, these little fibers, Terry and Linda.
Is this where you feel like almost like little bugs?
Yes. Creepy, crawly things under your skin. Mainstream medicine is just starting to become aware of it. And if he's suffering from it, I mean, it is really a bizarre situation.
That is so interesting. You know what, Richard? What the first impression I had when you started to mention the illness was, I feel like it is something from a past life for you, but homeopathy came to mind. Do you know what classical homeopathy is?
Well, I do, and explain it to him, if you would.
Oh, okay. It's really about the life force of the
body. Terry can explain it better.
The law of similars, and we use specific essences, actually, that are made from natural things, natural elements, you know, and so
it's like a tincture.
In very, very small amounts, you can cure things like this, and it really addresses anything.
Yeah.
If this is a problem with the nervous system, which I feel it is, mm-hmm. then I feel like you can overcome it.
Yes,
and it will take seeing a specific classical homeopath, not just anybody who dabbles in homeopathy. It has to be a classically trained homeopath, and it will take some time to get the right constitutional remedy, like a tincture, and there's thousands of them, but you can try working with somebody by phone even. We have a wonderful healer we can recommend. So email us, and we'll give you that name. But I think you can overcome this, Richard.
All right, great. East Haven, Connecticut, we go now, east of the Rockies. We've got you, Gary. Good morning, Gary.
George, psychic
Hi,
double mint twins.
Gary.
Everyone listen, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much.
All right. In September, Americans saw their 401s and IRAs destroyed mm-hmm. because of home loans given to unqualified people, which included millions of illegal aliens. Uh-huh. We have to come up with a new award and call it They Were So Right. The first win is Patrick J. Buchanan and Tom Tancredo. Now, ladies, mm-hmm. with all this bad information coming out, and a lot of it's been out for a long time, just the major media only covers what it wants to cover. So, in essence, they just create the news and they just put it out there. This was out there for a long time. A lot of people knew about these unqualified mm-hmm. and illegal aliens getting these loans.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know something. With all the information coming out there, a lot of it's bad, or a lot of it's supposedly bad. How do you process all this stuff and then come up with your predictions?
You know, that's a good question. We have been chanting every day for 25 years and meditating for even longer than that. So we've been doing this all our lives, really, and it's amazing, but we have developed five different divination systems through which we're able to really have a very subtle discernment. It's taken us all our lives, you know, to achieve this level of discernment, and that's why we're sort of almost annoyed when people say anybody can do it, because you know, anybody can. It's
yeah.
like, can anybody sing like Sinatra? No. It's the same kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It's a really special gift.
Yeah, we're kind of, you know, pushing the boundaries of psychic potential, of human potential. Essentially, we're redefining the limits of human achievement, because we're proving that this is possible to do. But it took us many, many years to get to this point, Gary, and to prove it, essentially prove it over and over and over again. And so it's a good question. I think meditation was the key for us, and we've always been extremely diligent about the work and took it to almost a scientific level, if that makes sense.
Let's go to California. Linda is waiting for the psychic twins. Linda, go ahead.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, George. Hi, Psychic
hey.
Twins. Thank
Hi.
You so much for everything that you do for everybody in the whole world, all your prayers.
That is so sweet.
Bless you. And, George, thank you so much for being here, especially on Thanksgiving, and especially for those of us that...
I would want to be in no other place right now.
Thank you so much. My question involves... President-elect Obama, mm-hmm. and I wondered if you felt that he was like the Lincoln of his time, or the Roosevelt, or the Kennedy, and would other leaders around the world be equal in that stead, and so that we could have more of a world of peace and understanding?
Wow, that's a good question. I actually agree with that. I think that... you know, I really do feel like the new Lincoln, the new JFK, the new Roosevelt type of healer, type of president that we're going to have. And I don't know about equal leaders in other countries, you know, people that have that. I feel like there may be, you know, one or two leaders that are very evolved.
Yeah, he has a high resonance, a high vibration, and he holds a real, a powerful vibration or frequency of healing, I think, for the planet.
I don't know about Messiah or anything like this, but I do think that he is a very powerful man who has the capability.
capability of inspiring many, and that we need that kind of leadership. I think he may overreach a little bit. In some ways, he may disappoint just because he doesn't have the support from Congress or the Senate, or, you know, he may not have the budget to work with. But I think for what he's doing, it's tremendously courageous. And, yeah, I think he will end up being one of those presidents that we'll look back on and say, wow, he did make a difference.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, sweetie. Take care.
Okay, we have time for a couple more. David in Philadelphia, you're up with us on Coast to Coast.
Morning, George.
Hey, David, good morning.
Hi, David.
Hi, twins.
Hi.
Hi, David.
In 1981, the Israeli Army and Air Force attacked Saddam Hussein's nuclear site, and everybody hated them then, but then after a while they said, wow, we avoided a potential nuclear war in the Middle East with Saddam Hussein, you know, arming other terrorist groups and things. Now we have the same situation with Iran, in which I feel the Iranians fund terrorism all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
If they get a hold of a nuclear weapon, I mean, Israel will be the first topic. And they've already openly said that they're going to annihilate Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see anything happening or changing in those fronts? And will the Israelis be successful if they eliminate the nuclear threat from Iran? I'm not hoping that the Israelis, you know, kill any innocent people, but if they could do another surgical nuclear weapon site removal like they did the last time, I think the world would be, you know, thankful that the new Saddam Hussein, the Ayatollahs in Iran, don't have nuclear capabilities.
Trouble is, there will be a response if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a quagmire.
Yeah. Well, actually, I've never seen the nuclear war between Iran and Israel, and I'm not seeing Iran using their nuclear weapons to attack other countries, even though I'm sure everybody is expecting it.
I don't
see that, and I don't see Israel having to attack Iran in that way.
Yeah, we're really not vibing on that, David. I don't think it'll come to that, really,
and I hope we're right about that. We're not seeing a nuclear attack on U.S. soil, anytime real soon either.
Are you two gearing up for the Mayan calendar date, 2012?
Oh, yes. Yeah. In fact, we're going to do a whole newsletter on that within the next few months, especially geared toward 2012. Fascinating subject.
I'm going to have my program on that Friday night. It's December 21st. How bizarre, isn't it?
Oh, so we'll have to tune in.
We're inviting you to. No, you're going to be on.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to have like a zillion guests on. Every 2012 person is going to be on that show with us that night.
How great.
And we're going to find out just what the heck is going on. See, I think they knew something about solar mechanics, celestial events. I think something has to do with the sun. I just think they knew something. It's going to be more than a period of enlightenment, and I don't think we're going to get hit by an asteroid on that day.
No,
this is something to have to do with celestial events.
Yeah,
this is wonderful.
That's right down our alley.
Yeah, we'd love to be involved. Thank you, George.
The psychic twins.
Yeah, well, we've been channeling quite a bit on this subject, so I think we'll have some interesting things to bring to it, to the discussion.
And we'll talk a little bit more than 4 years from now, okay?
Hopefully so.
All right, take care. Thanks again for coming on the program. You almost got me, by the way. Almost. Up next, someone else behind door number two of our secret doors on Coast to Coast AM.